sinners in Zion tenderly warned. How fearfulness will hereafter surprise sinners in Zion. Now many of them seem to have little or no fear. They are quiet and secure. Nothing will awaken them. The most awful threatenings and the loudest warnings do not much move them. They are not so much moved with them, but they can eat and drink and sleep and go about their worldly concerns without much disturbance. But the time will come when the hardest and most stupid wretches will be awakened, though now preaching will not awaken them, and the death of others will not make them afraid. Though seeing others awakened and converted will not much affect them, though they can stand all that is to be heard and seen in a time of general outpouring of the Spirit of God without being much moved. Yet the time will come when they will be awakened, and fear will take hold of them. They will be afraid of the wrath of God. However senseless they are now, they will hereafter be sensible of the awful greatness of God, and that it is a fearful thing to fall into His hands. With respect to the time when the wicked shall be thus surprised with fear, it is often so on a deathbed. Many things pass in their lifetime, which one would think might well strike terror into their souls, is when they see others die, who are as young as they are, and of like condition and circumstances with themselves, whereby they may see how uncertain their lives are, and how unsafe their souls. It may well surprise many sinners to consider how old they are grown, and are yet in a Christless state. How much of their opportunity to get an interest in Christ is irrecoverably gone, and how little remains. Also, how much greater their disadvantages now are than they have been. But these things do not terrify them. As age increases, so does the hardness and obduracy of their hearts grow upon them. But when death comes, then the sinner is often filled with astonishment. It may be when he is first taken sick. He has great hope that he shall recover. His men are ready to flatter themselves with hopes that things will be as they fain would have them. But when the distemper comes to prevail much upon him, and he sees that he is going into eternity, when he sees that all the medicines of physicians are in vain, that all the care and endeavors of friends are to no purpose, that nothing seems to help him, that his strength is gone, that his friends weep over him and look upon his case as desperate. When he sees by the countenance and behavior of the physician that he looks upon his case as past hope, and perhaps overhears a whispering in the room, wherein his friends signify one to another that they look upon it that he is struck with death, or wherein they tell one another that his extreme parts grow cold, that his countenance and manner of breathing and his pulse show death, and that he begins to be in a cold death sweat. And when perhaps by and by someone thinks himself bound in duty and faithfulness to let him know the worst, and therefore comes and asks him whether or not he be sensible that he is a dying, then how does fearfulness surprise a sinner in Zion? How does his heart melt with fear? This is the thing that he feared ever since he was taken sick, but until now he had hoped that he should recover. The physician did not speak, or if he despaired, he spoke of such and such medicines as being very proper, and he hoped that they would be effectual. And when these failed, he changed his medicines and applied something new. Then the sinner hoped that that would be effectual. Although he constantly grew worse and worse, still he hoped to recover. At the same time, he cried to God to spare him, and made promises how he would live if God would spare him, and he hoped that God would hear him. He observed also that his friends, and perhaps the minister, seemed to pray earnestly for him, and he could not but hope that those prayers would be answered. and that he should be restored. But now how does his heart sink and die within him? How does he look about with a frighted countenance? How quick is the motion of his eye through inward fear, and how quick and sudden are all his motions? What a frightful hurry does he seem to be in? How does everything look to him when he sees pale, grim death staring him in the face, and a vast eternity within a few hours or minutes of him? It may be he still struggles for a little hope. He is loath to believe what is told him. He tells his informers that he hopes that they are more affrighted than they need be. He hopes that those symptoms arise from some other cause, and like a poor, drowning man, catches at slender and brittle twigs, and clenches his hands about whatever he sees within his reach. But his death creeps more and more on him. He sees his twigs break, and all his hopes of life fail, and he sees he must die. Oh, there is nothing but death before him. He has been hoping, but his hopes are all dashed. He sees this world and all that belongs to it are gone. Now come the thoughts of hell into his mind with amazement. Oh, how shall he go out of the world? He knows he has no interest in Christ. His sins stare him in the face. Oh, the dreadful gulf of eternity. He had been crying to God, perhaps, since he was sick, to save him. And he had some hope, if it were his last sickness, that yet God would pity him and give him pardoning grace before he should die. He begged and pleaded, and he hoped that God would have pity on his poor soul. At the same time, he asked others to pray for him, and he had been looking day after day for some light to shine into his soul. But alas, now he is dying. And his friends ask him, how does death appear to him? Whether any light appear? Whether God has not given him some token of his favor? And he answers, no, it's a poor, faltering, trembling voice if able to speak at all. Or if his friends ask some signal of hope, he can give none. Now death comes on him more and more, and he is just on the brink of eternity. Who can express the fear, the misgivings, the hangings back, and the horrible fright and amazement of his soul? Some who in such circumstances have been able to speak, have been known to cry out, oh, eternity, eternity. And some, oh, 1,000 worlds for an inch of time. Oh, if they might but live a little while longer. But it must not be. Go they must. They feel the frame of nature dissolving, and perceive the soul just a-going. For sometimes the exercise of reason seems to hold to the last. What in such a case is felt in the soul, in those last moments, when it is just breaking its bands with the body, but to fetch its leap on the edge of eternity, and the very brink of hell, without any Savior, or the least testimony of divine mercy. I say, what is sometimes felt by Christless souls in these moments, none can tell, nor is it within the compass of our conception. The misery of the departed soul of a sinner, besides what it now feels, consists in a great part in amazing fears of what is yet to come. When the union of the soul and body is actually broken, and the body has fetched its last gasp, the soul forsakes its old habitation, and then falls into the hands of devils, who fly upon it, and seize it more violently than every hungry lion flew upon their prey, and with what horror will it fall into those cruel hands? If we imagine to ourselves the dreadful fear with which a lamb or kid falls into the paws of a wolf, which lays hold of it with open mouth, or if we imagine to ourselves the feeling of a little child that has been pursued by a lion, when it is taken hold of and sees the terrible creature open his devouring jaws to tear it in pieces, or the feeling of those 2 and 40 children who had mocked Elisha when they fell into the paws of the bears that tear them in pieces. I say, if we could have a perfect idea of that terror and astonishment which a little child would have in such a case, yet we should have but a faint idea of what is felt in the departing soul of a sinner when it falls into the hands of those cruel devils, those roaring lions which then seize of it. And when the soul is carried to hell, and there is tormented, suffers the wrath of the Almighty, and is overwhelmed and crushed with it, it will also be amazed with the apprehensions of what shall yet remain. To think of an eternity of this torment remaining, oh, how will it feel and overbear and sink down the wretched soul? How will the thought of the duration of this torment without end cause a heart to melt like wax? How will the thought of it sink the soul into the bottomless pit of darkness and gloominess? Even those proud and sturdy spirits, the devils, tremble at the thoughts of that greater torment which they are to suffer at the day of judgment. So will the poor damned souls of men. They have already more than they will be able to bear. How then will they tremble at the thought of having their misery vastly increased?